how have the last, I guess it's almost 2 years now, been for you and the band? Because I know that you guys are, you know, you're big on touring and that sort of thing, so it must have been pretty tough.
Yeah, it's been really interesting, put it that way. It's hard. Yeah, it's been tough for the band, and I didn't realize, you know, how tough it was psychologically until I went out and played my first gig in 18 months, and it was pretty amazing because all its muscle memory stuff was all gone. So then, you know, we had our first gig as a band was playing. We played three songs for was it the Lions and I think the Rough Riders opening game here in Vancouver. And so three tunes, halftime entertainment. I don't know how many times we practiced. We never rehearsed, man. We rehearsed for several days. And then we played it and it went okay. It was pretty good.
I watched a series of documentaries way back in, I think it was the 90s, and I've seen them online a few times since. And there were a couple of Chilliwack references that really stood out for me. First off, talk to me a little bit about the formative years of Chilliwack when you were with the Collectors. Now, you guys were widely known as one of, if not the first group to make it big out of Vancouver, you know, and I know that you spent a good deal of time in California. You toured with bands like The Doors. And if I recall correctly, the documentary basically credited the Collectors, along with, I think it was the Guess Who and Steppenwolf, as being the catalyst to opening the door, essentially showing a whole new wave of Canadian groups that bands north of the border could make it in the U.S. Now, what's your reaction when you hear something like that?
Those are very kind words. And we were early, as for sure. And we worked our butts off that too. And yes, we played with all those people. And, you know, I guess for some people it opened some doors. Really, anyone who did what we did, you know, did the work that we did would have, you know, the same result.
The second part of this Chilliwack part of the documentary, it touched on the 80s this time, and more specifically, the My Girl video. Now that came out, I think it was 1981, the same year that MTV launched in the U.S. Now the documentary basically said that it was one of the first videos ever made. I don't know how accurate that was, that there were other bands that had shot similar things, but not at all for a platform like MTV. And as a result, it kind of launched you guys into a whole new stratosphere of not only exposure, but popularity, thanks to MTV. Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, that was a very important moment. And we were early. We had a director who was very forward thinking and kind of knew what was going on with video, with MTV and stuff. And yeah, we were out there. The Stones I think it was Start Me Up with the Stones came out at that time. And My Girl was there and it got tons of play. You know, we sort of, all of a sudden we'd climb on a plane in the States and people would recognize us. You know, it was like, really was made an incredible difference.
There weren't a lot of bands that were doing it, but it was kind of, you were shooting videos before you realized that you were shooting videos. It was just sort of a fun thing that you did. And then all of a sudden this revolutionary thing came along and there was video channels, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Beatles did it, right? They had, what was his name? Lester. Is it Kevin Lester? I can't remember the guy's first name. A great, great television producer, director, did their stuff. And, you know, they did all kinds of goofy things. Like, I remember George Harrison in the middle of a Beatles guitar solo. He's got his fingers locked under the strings. He can't move them, right? And the solo is going. They did a lot of wonderful, wacky things, and they really opened it up for everybody.
Now, I'm going to move on here to a bit of a fun one. Now, Canadian classic rock, like I mentioned, I mean, it's always been, you know, my favorite genre ever, as far back as I can remember. I was a child of SoCan, so, you know, bands like Chilliwack, April Wine, Headpins, to this day are some of my favorites. So I thought that I knew a lot about these bands until my father-in-law, of all people, introduced me to this little Chilliwack song called Groundhog. What can you tell me about this interesting little ditty? How did that come about?
That was, I learned that song from my sister. She and I used to sing together. We lived in Edmonton in the late 50s, early 60s, a couple of years. I actually graduated from high school at Vic Comp in Edmonton. Anyways, we used to go out and sing together. And this was a song that she knew from Buffy St. Marie, Buffy St. Marie album. So, and Buffy did it with a mouth bow. And so it's kind of harmonically wide open, right? Because there was no chords, you know? And the way Buffy did it, and she kind of did it with a drone, you know? And it was cool. So we decided to do a drone on guitar. It was that sliding thing, that kind of thing. And we had a lot of fun with that tune, the slide guitar and stuff. And you know, I mean, it wasn't a big hit for us, but it was well known. It was certainly big in it was big in Alberta for sure, and it was number one in Little Rock, Arkansas. So, you know, it had its moments. And I remember we played with ZZ Top one time. It was in Edmonton, I believe, and it was really sweet because I mean they were so good, you know. And we were opening for them, and that was one of the songs we played. And afterwards, the next day in the airport, you know, I was standing with them, and they were very complimentary about the band.
I wonder what it is about Alberta that somehow connects with Chilliwack. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the slide guitar or something. I don't know.
I don't know either. I gotta tell you, from day pretty much one, Alberta had been the best place for Chilliwack. It was the best place for the collectors. The very first gig we played in Alberta was in the Edmonton Sales Pavilion for Benny Benjamin. And, you know, that was in like 1967. And Alberta has just treated us so well. I feel like we've been friends for so long, you know?
It's a comfortable place. It's a familiar place for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I want you to talk to me a little bit about Brian Too Loud McLeod. Now, such a driving force behind, well, not only Chilliwack's sound, but that, you know, I mean, that Opus X album is still one of my favorites. But I mean, Brian had his fingerprints all over that. But also, I mean, of course, the Headpins. What did he mean to you and your career?
Well, he really was a shot in the arm, that's for sure. We'd had some great success with it was right after the Dreams album with Fly at Night and Baby Blue and stuff like that, and we were trying to get a little bit more of a tougher sound in the bottom end of the band, and we were having a rough time doing it, and we weren't getting anywhere. And our manager found Brian in a bar in Toronto. And said, "This guy's amazing," and he sent us his bio. He sent us some tapes that Brian had made on his four track in his home, and they were great. They were great. We said, and he sent pictures. They looked fine and everything. So we said, "Yeah, you know, let's get this guy in the band." And so we met down in Los Angeles, and we were playing the Whiskey in about 3 nights, and Brian and the band just worked like crazy getting them integrated into the band, and away we went. So, you know, he was majorly important to the things that happened, you know, the music that we made. I remember saying, you know, a friend of mine, a mutual friend of mine and Brian's, one time after Brian was no longer in the band, he told me one time he had been talking to Brian, and Brian said, "Yeah," and they were talking about me, and Brian said, "Yeah, Henderson." He said, "That guy's got more ideas than anyone I've ever heard." But there was a reason for that. It's because when Brian came over to write, we wrote every day. Come over to my house to write. He'd sit down at the piano. I'd come back with coffee. By then, he had something going, and I knew that if I wanted to be a part of this, I had to get in there.
Well, what I find fascinating, and I had a big talk with Barney Bentall a few weeks ago. We did an interview and we talked about the Canadian sound, and it's sort of related to this in the sense that, you know, you can really hear, you know, mainly Brian's influence, not only on you know, Chilliwack albums, but also in Headpins. Like, you can hear him. And what Barney and I kind of talked about is how Canada, for whatever reason, has this sound. And you look at bands like Blue Rodeo and Tragically Hip, where it's hard to put them into genres. And I don't really know that there's a lot of American bands that are like that. So something happens in Canada. For some reason, we're able to put our stamp on the music and kind of create your own genre. So I guess I'm talking about two separate things here, but sort of related. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, we are a different culture. There's no two ways about it. You know, we sort of aspire a certain amount to things that the Americans have done because they're fantastic. You know, they're very powerful people. They've been building that culture for a while, and they've gone way, way in advance of so much of the world in some ways. And but Canadians, you know, we are what we are. We're different. We've been down to the States, man. They said, "Geez, you guys are so polite."
Okay, so finally, what's next for you guys? I mean, do you plan to get out and keep touring? You know, any new projects? Any thoughts of, you know, well, I'm getting too old for this crap kind of thing, or where are you at?
You know, we keep getting our farewell tour postponed because of the pandemic. Yeah, we really want to play again. That's what we want to do. So, you know, there's a few gigs coming up there, but it's still slow and spotty, and we'll just see how it goes. But we love to play. I mean, man, it's fun. You know, feels good.
What's your key? What's the key to you keeping on going?
Well, as long as I can stay healthy enough to do it, and that the people around me are okay, that everybody's okay, we'll keep doing it. I don't see any reason to stop. I enjoy it.
Well, I certainly hope to see you in Alberta soon, my friend. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. It's an honor for me. Like I said, Chilliwack is my, you know, one of my top Canadian bands ever. So this has been a real thrill for me, Bill. I appreciate it.
That's great, Todd. It's good to talk to you, and you know, you take care.